Well, I'd like to thank you for inviting me to talk about something on the Daf Yomi which we're doing at the present time, and I've chosen a topic on Daf Kuf Yud Omad Aleph. It's a topic which is self-contained in itself, but it involves many principles which have troubled the Torah world been a problem for the Rishonim and for the Achronim. Now, before we learn the Gemara, I think we've just got to introduce the background. We're talking here in Perek Beis Shammai about a child who got married, and the din is that a child under Bas Mitzvah, a girl who's under Bas Mitzvah, cannot make her own Kiddushin because she's too young. You've got to have Das, you've got to have the intelligence to do it. But in the Torah, the father would accept the Kiddushin, and then she would be completely Mekudeshes to her new husband. This was quite prevalent in the olden days, and in fact, although there is certain problems in marrying a child under Bas Mitzvah, there is a Tosis in Kiddushin which suggests that it actually could have been a good idea at times of pogroms, at times when the child needed protection. But anyhow, whichever way it is, midyoraisa, that's the situation. The father would be mekabel the kiddushin for his daughter. The problem arose where there was no father. The Chazal found that girls without a father were neglected, and they could end up on the streets, and it could be a problem for them. So they made a special takona whereby the mother or the child's older brothers could enter into a rabbinic kiddushin. It's a proper kiddushin midrabbanon, but obviously it was not a kiddushin midiraisa. And the point of that was that she would grow up with her husband, and when she became bas mitzvah, she could then choose for herself. As long as she's under bas mitzvah, she has the right to do what's called miyun. Miyun means the refusal, and if she really cannot get on, she can just reject the husband and go back and say, look, I can't get on with him, I'm going. Usually this didn't happen. Usually the husband looked after the child, and when she became bas mitzvah, she could then make her choice. Because this is only kiddushin derabbanon, it means it hasn't got the strength of the derabbanon, so there's no need for a get if she did miyun. But on the other hand, it did create other problems as to her status. And the Gemara that we're talking about is discussing the question of what happens once she's become bas mitzvah, and at that stage we'll have to decide her status. Now the Gemara talks about if the husband takes her in and he has relations with her, then it's accepted that she becomes married to him. But in a situation where she has not yet had relations with the man after the age of bas mitzvah, and she has not rejected the man, she's in a sort of limbo land until it's become finalised. Now we talk in the case of, in the Gemara, a remarkable case where she was actually going to get properly married to her new husband, and I'm going to read out the case in the Gemara. There was a hi uvda to have a benarish. There was a case which took place in Narish. Now don't get mixed up with the Yiddish Narish, it's not that sort of Narish cat we're talking about. This is a place actually which was called Narish. Whether or not that's the correct pronunciation, no one will know today, but it's a famous place in the Mesopotamian basin, and it was had a lot of Talmidei Chachamim there. Now there was a case in that town, the Ikdisho Kishuhi Ketano. The man took the Ketano and he gave her the Kedushin to her brothers or her mother, whichever it was. The father was dead. The godlo, and then she grew up and became bas mitzvah. So at that stage, which would have been the normal case, would have been for her to marry the husband again with a proper deraisa marriage. So the osa abekur sayo, they set her in her throne, the throne being the apiria and the hinema. They put her into the chuppah. So clearly the assumption is that she had not had relations yet with this husband after becoming bas mitzvah, because otherwise there would be little point in sticking her in a chuppah. That's the assumption. And something terrible happened. V'osa achrina v'chatofo mineh. Somebody jumped in at the chuppah. It's difficult to imagine a thing like this happening, but, you know, fact is stranger than fiction. Somebody jumped in, hat the woman away from the man, says, I'm marrying you, and I'm taking you away. He took her away, and off they went. So now the question was, what's her status? After all, she was all but married to the first husband, at least midrabbonon, but now the second husband has come along, the second chap, and she's married him. How could she do such a thing? Well, she did it. And the question is, what's the din? Rav Brunner, Rav Chananel, Talmidei de Rav, they were the Talmidim of Rav, Havu Hossam, they were actually present, V'lo Hitzrichu Get Mibasra. They decided that the second husband, the second man, had done something so heinous that they said, as far as they were concerned, there would not be any necessity for a get at all. Now that's remarkable, because the Gemara wants to prove from that she must have been somehow or other properly married to the first husband, otherwise why should she not need a get from the second one? Because if she'd been married mid-Yerayis to the first one and somebody else took him along and tried to do a kiddushin when she's already married, that's obviously not effective. That's what the Gemara tries to prove. So Rav Popa gives one teretz, but the teretz which concerns us is Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, "Hu oso shelo kehogan." This man behaved in such a reprehensible manner. Lefichach osu bo shelo kehogan. Chazal decided that it was so reprehensible what he did that afki inu rabbonon likidushin mineh, and therefore Chachamim had this tremendous power to remove the kiddushin, as if they could wave a magic wand and say you're not married. Obviously, this needs very much deeper explanation. You can't just wave a wand and say, we don't like what you did, therefore the condition are not chal. You can't do such a thing. So Rashi's explanation is that whenever a person gets married, he gets married aidaita de rabbonon, as we say, kedas Moshe Yisrael. And since you make the condition that you're going to get married on the basis of the what Chachomim will determine, they have the power to decide whether or not this kedushin will be chal or not. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos has a problem. Tosfos, we're not quite sure, says Tosfos. Mistakim, they're in doubt. Is what Rashi says correct, that in fact they do it adat ed rabbonon, or is in fact it's not that at all? Chachom have a special power to be oike dovor min ha-toirot. The up occasions with Chachomim can uproot what's been done in our Torah. Now, we had this before in Isha Rabo, if you remember, and the maskana, the Gemara, and the Badli at least, is you can only do it b'shevi al-tasa. The Rishami seems to assume you can do it b'kum v'yase as well, but the halacha is we can only do it b'shevi al-tasa. So the question is, what exactly happened here? Is this shevi al-tasa or not? Zinor Chaneir asks, well, where's the shevi al-tasa? Chacham are actually going to do something. But what it seems to be indicating is that, according to this explanation, Chachamim would be oiker the kiddushin in some way or other, probably by hefka best in hefka. They could just simply say the money which you gave will not be applicable to kiddushin, and then it would be it would not be chal. So Tosfos is in doubt as to how it works. There are a number of problems, however, with this Gemara. Number of problems. First of all, the Gemara has said straight away that Chachomim decided to remove the Kiddushin. Now, wherever else, no one said wherever else, there are five cases we're going to have to discuss. In three of the five cases mentioned, I'll do them briefly in a second, the Gemara always says that Adaita de Rabbonon, since he did it with the knowledge or with the acceptance of the Rabbonon, they have the power. That is omitted from our Gemara. Now, although Rashi says that it is Adaita de Rabbonon, Tosfos are in doubt about it. But still, the problem remains, why was it omitted here if it's mentioned elsewhere? Which is the basis of Tosfos' sophic as to whether Rashi has got it right or not. That's question number one. The second question is, this Adaita de Rabbonon, logically one would assume that good Jewish people want their kiddushin to work according to the way the Chachamim prescribed. That's what normal people will do. After all, the Rabbonim know better. If you're going to get a house built, you normally build it with an architect and you keep to the normal rules. You don't have to. Build it yourself if you like. It'll come out completely squiggly. But at least you can do it. You don't have to. But in the case of Kiddushin, it's the same thing. Chachamim know best what's good for you. Therefore, it should work in that fashion. But what would happen if you said, I don't believe in Chazal. I'm not interested. I'm a Tzedoki. I'm a Karaite. I don't care what the Chachamim say. I want these Kiddushin to be chal according to the strict letter of the Torah. Now, what's the situation then? Now, from Rashi, it very much sounds, and it's difficult to give a real explanation for it, that that's out of the question. It just doesn't work that way. Any Kiddushin has been handed over to Chazal to do it. A Daita de Rabbonon means that they are in charge. How they're in charge is the Torah gave it over to them. Normally people will do that. And it's true, we say Kadas Moshe v'Yisrael, but that isn't necessarily an option. That's a simon to what it is, according to Rashi's view. It seems clear from Rashi all over that there's no way out of this. And Tosa seems to possibly agree. However, there's a Ritbo in Kisilvus and another Rishonim who say that when you make Kiddushin, you do it on the al menas sheyirtze abo. It's a similar situation. I'm giving Kiddushin on condition that my father agrees. You can do such a thing. So it's a conditional Kiddushin on condition that my father will give the acceptance to it. But here, they say you make a condition that the Rabbonim should be happy with the Kiddushin I'm going to make. That's what people would normally do. That's what Kadesh Moshe Yisrael means. It's clear that Rashi doesn't hold of that. Rashi holds a different thing. Rashi makes it quite clear in Ksubas that Rashi does not subscribe to that opinion, like we said before. But the Ritvo and the other Rishonim seem to suggest it's a conditional Kiddushin to do it in the way that the Chazal would want. According to them, this man clearly does not care what the Chazal say. This man is a Rosha. Or, take a simple example, a person who marries somebody whom the Chachamim forbid, Shnius La'arayas. Or a case which is not also Midyaraisa, which is like the normal, any case of Shnius, but where Chazal don't allow you to marry that person, not because I'm going ahead and going to marry it. Now, why don't we say that that also is the same? But the answer is, in such a case, the Kiddushin are certainly chal. Nobody would deny that they are chal, even though the Chachamim don't want it. So Rashi really has a basis of what he's saying, that every Kiddushin depend on what Chazal want, and Chazal have said that that is a valid Kiddushin, even though we don't approve of it. We're not going to interfere. Question is, how do we distinguish between that sort of case and the case here where Chachamim was so incensed by the behaviour of this guy that they said, no Kiddushin? Let's come. There are a couple more questions. The question is a technical question. This man chapped. He took the girl and he forced her to marry him. You might turn around to me and say, well, if you force somebody to marry, how can that be a valid marriage? You need the das of both parties. You can't do one without the other. However, there's a Gemara in Baba Basra which says quite clearly that really you can do such a thing. Why? Because if I take a gun to your head, not to your head, to somebody else's head, somebody takes a gun to somebody else's head and says, you must do this, I want you to sell me your property. The guy is so frightened that he's going to get shot that he actually takes the money and gives the property. Although it's a very unconscionable act, it's a valid transaction. And the Gemara there suggests it would also be valid for Kiddushin if the man forces the woman and the woman accepts the tabas, she accepts the money, it is a valid Kiddushin. It would have been, because it's the same principle. But, says Rav Ashi, it won't work because Chazal wouldn't allow it to work. Chazal said that's so unconscionable, a person who does that will mafkia the Kiddushin. If that's the case, what's going on here? Is it the same case or is it a different case? What's so special about Chatofo? The din is for anybody who forces has got the same principle. So all the Rishonim ask that difficult question. The next question is, why is this Gemara not mentioned in the Rif, not mentioned in the Rambam, it's not mentioned in the Rosh? It's not mentioned. The fact that it's not mentioned is the problem, because it seems there's something faulty here, something which we're not seeing. The Tur does bring it. The Tur brings it in Shulchan Aruch, the Darkei Moshe brings it in Shulchan Aruch, and the Rabbi Kiva Eger brings it in Gilyon on the Shulchan Aruch. So on the one hand you've got the Tur, the Ramah, and the Rabbi Kiva Eger seem to say this Gemara is Halacha, but you've got the Rambam and the Rif and the Rosh who say for some reason just omit it. And it's when if the Rambam doesn't bring it and the Rif doesn't bring it, they don't hold of it. So the Beis Yosef on Shulchan Aruch, which we looked at before, the Beis Yosef says, do you know why they don't bring it? Because there's a machlokus between Rav Papa and Rav Ashi. Rav Papa gives an entirely different answer, which doesn't have to come on to what's called hafkor. It's a straightforward situation where Narish was different, because in Narish they didn't behave themselves quite in the same way, and the kiddushin to the first husband were properly chal for a different reason. The problem with the Beis Yosef, although the Beis Yosef is a tremendous authority, and he's doing that clearly to Miyasha the Rambam, is it's a well-known klal in Shas, Rav Popo against Rav Ashi, no contest. Rav Ashi is Basra, the Gemara was written by Rav Ashi, the Halach is like Rav Ashi. So how on earth could we paskin like Rav Popo? What you may have to say is it may be Bedoichet, that maybe they had a different gears in the Gemara, or maybe they feel that the somehow or other the Okimtza for some reason might work better. It's a very, very difficult answer. The truth of the matter in this particular kasha is it's already asked by the Ramban on the Gemara and the other Rishonim, and the Ramban suggests that with one answer we can answer two questions. His suggestion is that it's possible, in order to answer this problem of Chatzofot, that what the Gemara is saying here is the same Rav Ashi here as it was in Baba Basra, and just as Rav Ashi said Hafkor in Baba Basra, so he says Hafkor here, because when you steal somebody and force them to do it, then it doesn't work, for the same reason. So therefore we've answered two kashas in one, he says. On the one hand, we explained why this is not a question of being different from the other Gemara. It is exactly the same thing. And since the Rambam has already mentioned the Gemara in Baba Basra, and that's mentioned the Halacha, there's no need to mention it a second time. Therefore, it's the same Halacha. But then the Rambam goes on to say, the Eidah Mechuvah, this explanation, although it would explain beautifully the various questions, does not fit in with the wording of the Gemara. First of all, it should have told us that chatofo meant something different from force. It's a different expression, a different situation. And, you know, the fact that it's mentioned somewhere else, it should have said Rav Ashi Lishitosa or something of that sort. So the Ramban is not happy with the answer, but at least it goes far enough to explain what the Rambam and the others are holding. The Ramban and the Ritvo and the Rashbo and this Gemara, they actually go in a different way, and they suggest that we're talking a situation where she actually accepted the kiddushin later. At the time when he took her, she objected. But later on, at the time when he went, the second guy took her into the chuppah, at that stage, the girl by that time been happy to accept the second man, and that's the problem here. Says the Ramban, they wanted to make a special protection for the young girl. Since this young girl was already midrabbonon in the hands of the first man, it was completely unconscionable to take her away. If somebody comes from the outside and does something, that's a different situation. In that situation, if the woman then accepts after the force, well, she's entitled to do such a choice. And that would answer another Gemara which talks about a situation where one person is busy giving Kiddushin and somebody else comes in and chaps in. So the Gemara says quite clearly the one who gets in first gets the Kiddushin. But here, although the second guy got in first, it's not acceptable, says the Ramban, since we have to protect this particular girl who's already in Kudesh's Midrabbonon to the other person. It's an exceptional situation. And that's how he explains this particular Gemara, and that's why this is Lalach according to him. Now, so far we've discussed this particular Gemara. we're seeing from the Gemara that tremendous power the Chachamim have, but we haven't yet understood when they use it and when they don't use it. Now we'll have to go briefly through the other cases in Shas. The Gemara in Kesubas tells us of a case of a Gimel, where a person said, I'm going away, I'm giving you a get if I don't come back by a certain date. And before he came back, there's an onus, he wants the get back. And everybody knows that he really didn't want the get to be chal because he was trying to get back, but he couldn't. The Gemara says that because of the problems, the abuse of the system between the Putzos and the Tznuos, the various reasons, I haven't got time to go into all the details of the Gemara, you'll be learnt in Daf Yomi Shoga when you get to Kesubas, then Chachazal decided they would have to remove the Kiddushin in order that this woman should not be married, the get should be chal. That's one case. Even though there's no question of a retrospective removal of the Kiddushin without their power, but Chazal decided that it was so important that this get should be effective, otherwise we'd have problems that they removed the Kiddushin. Second case, the famous case in Gittin of Bittul of the Shlichus. If a person sends a get with a Shliach, and the Shliach takes a get to the wife, so the wife gets the get, she's divorced. If without the wife knowing, the husband suddenly decides to be mevatel the shlichus and nobody knows about it, she'll think she's had the proper get, she'll go off and get married, and there's no get. So Chacham said, you're not going to be allowed to be mevatel the get. That's the shit of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, it may not be lahalocha, but there's a bachur Shimon Rebbe there, but that's the situation where it is mentioned in Gittin. Chachamim used their power to prevent that get from being chal. They said that get, so to prevent the get from not being chal, that the get will actually be effective. That's the second case. The third case is the case in Baba Basra. No, that's the case we mentioned already. The third case is another case in Gittin, but I beg your pardon, later on in Gittin. What daf is it? The next one's in Gittin, Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, with a Shechiv Meira. A person is on his deathbed, and he gives his get, and a situation arises that he then gets better. Now, he didn't make an express condition, that would be something that people would accept it. But since he made no condition, even though we all know that he didn't think he was going to get better, and that's the only reason why he wanted to give the get, and now that he did get better, he obviously wants to change his mind, or he never had the mind in the first place that there should be a get. Nonetheless, Chazal said, no, we can't have this situation, it's too dangerous for the institution of marriage, and we have to be certain that get is going to be chal whether you like it or not. And the Chazal rely on their powers of Afkeinu. So those are the three cases where the Gemara actually brings Adai to the Rabbonon, as I mentioned before. The two cases which are not mentioned Adai to the Rabbonon is our case in Yevamos and the case in Baba Basra, which we mentioned before, about force. Tosus in Baba Basra says, in his first teretz, there's a machlokes hasugyos. One sugya holds Adai to the Rabbonon, and the other sukkah holds has nothing to do with that. Once it grew to din with hefka bestin hefka, bestin can remove it to have that power. We haven't discussed much other than the kesef of kiddushin. There really isn't time to go into the question of a kiddushin alide shtar or kiddushin alide bia. It's a very fascinating and long and interesting discussion as to the power of chachamim to deal with that. But let's suffice it to say chachamim have the power to remove any kiddushin, whether it's kesef, whether it is shtar, or whether it is beer. There are the three methods of kiddushin. But the Tosus is therefore mesupik, just like the mesupik here, as to whether or not there's a machlokas asugis. So therefore, that's one answer. There's two different opinions, like Tosus says here. One opinion is that it depends on the das of chachomim, and the other opinion is it's chachomim were oike through that power. Then Tosus goes on to give a second teretz. And this second teretz makes it's not easier to understand, it's not for us to judge the Rishonim, but the second test is found in other Rishonim as well. What he says is like this: there's a basic difference between the beginning of marriage and later on in marriage. When at the beginning of marriage, the Chacham have power to say, you made Kiddushin, they're not going to work. We're stopping them from now. From ab initio, when you want to do something now, the Chacham can just block it. It doesn't work. But once you've been validly married for many years, happy with children and everything else, you can't then suddenly start uprooting what happened several years ago and say, it never happened in the first place. So on that, you need an extra additional power. Chacham can't just go around doing things without seichel. Chacham do things with great kavona. And what the suggestion is here, since the person did it adaita de rabbonan with the chachomim in mind, therefore he is dependent on their view, and their view is, in these particular circumstances we can remove it. So the Tosfos is saying that daita de rabbonan is necessary only where there has been valid kiddushin for a while. However, if ab initio you do something wrong, they could put a block on it ab initio. And that seems to fit in beautifully with the sugyas. Now that leads us, and obviously we've simplified a great deal, but that leads us to the next question of to what extent do Rabbanan exercise this power? When do they decide what to do? Clearly we see they've got the power. We've discussed Rashi's opinion seems to be that it doesn't depend upon whether the man is behaving himself and doing a data Rabbanan. Rabbanan are in charge of Kiddushin and they've got full power. And therefore they can uproot whenever they want. And Chachomim chose to do so, and we've got examples of the cases where they did. Rashi actually is quite goes even further, even though there's various cases which are not mentioned in the Gemara, which the Rishonim suggest it's Chachomim using their power, even though it's not stated. I'll give one example. A case of a person who brings only one witness to the death of her husband, you would assume that it's a special takana of Chachomim, because Daiko Mitzvah, the Chachomim are quite convinced that there must have been a death. But there's a problem still with that, because we have a halachin from the Torah that you can't have Dovah, Sheba, Erva, Pachos, and Shtayim. You've got to have two Edim. Can't be helped. However, 100% certain you might be, you've got to have Edim to prove it. So how do you reconcile that? Well, there are various ways of reconciling it. But one of the ways mentioned in the Rishonim, I think it's Rashi, is that this is also an example where Chachamim used that supervening power of Adaita de Rabbana, and it works. And therefore Chacham could remove it. That's the that's Rashi. We already discussed the other Rishonim say it's done amanash sheyirtza, which means in other words that most people want that to happen and it works that way. It also answers the Aruch HaNer's kasha, which we mentioned before, because the Aruch HaNer is talking about how can you break the this man is a Rosha. But if he's a Rosha, then he's not doing Adas Chazal. We said, well, Rashi doesn't seem to worry about that. But Aruch HaNer clearly does worry about it. And it could be that there's a difference, because, like Tosfos says in Bava Basra, where it's the beginning, then the Chacham have that power, whether it's Adas or not. But later on, since they got married in harmony, it's quite clear that they got married on that basis. The Ritvo goes further. He says, Stamo Ke Mefurish. And he quotes the Gemara in Kedushin's Dvarim Shebelev. In other words, anybody who gets married, if he doesn't say specifically, I'm not doing it Adas Chazal, it must be Adas Chazal. So he gets round our problem. Rashi doesn't seem to even need that. Rashi simply says, you're doing Adas Chazal, which whether you like it or not. The Ritvo says, you've got to do Adas Chazal, but if you don't say anything, we're just going to assume that to be the case. And therefore, you come to the same conclusion whether we're happily married in the first place, and yet, well, you did something very unconscionable in the first place, then you don't have to come on to Adas Chazal, like Joseph says, you just okrit meyakor. Okay, so far so good. So the question then arises that if Chachom have this tremendous power, when did they exercise it and when didn't they exercise it? Why should they exercise it in these few cases, which don't seem to be terribly prevalent? Why not take for a case where you've got an unfortunate incident, the woman got married thinking her husband was dead. And she didn't do anything wrong. She thought her husband was dead, so why can't we use it then? And there are people who now want to go much, much further and say, let's do in all cases, all right, the poor child who became a mamzer because the mother went off with somebody else, is it his fault? Why should we be matar mamzerim? So, in fact, Tosfos in Gittin goes into this whole subject of being matar mamzerim. Says Tosfos, you can if the mamza becomes Torah indirectly, we didn't intend it, good, that's a wonderful thing. In fact, Ramban says it even a better expression. He says, Sheyit Haru, on the contrary, they should become Torah. We can't go around doing this, because that Chazal would never allow. But if it happened, Mata Uva Manoim. Rabbi Luthan says something similar in Gittin. If Chazal have to be okay the Kedushim Yikar, and there's an incidental benefit that the Mamza becomes a Torah person, that's fine. But the Chachila, we won't allow them to do it. However, the question is, why? Let Chazal do it, why shouldn't they do it? Now, there are lots of different reasons why it shouldn't be done. First of all, you must know that what we've assumed so far, that the Kiddushin are retrospectively removed for all purposes, is not quite so simple at all. First of all, the Ramban suggests that midrabbonon we would keep everything in place, although it's a retrospective removal of the Kiddushin ab initio. She was never married to this man, that's how it works, and that's how Rashi and Tosus and the Rishon tend to learn. Nonetheless, still midrabbonon the mamza will remain, all the psulim will still remain. And although you might say, well, she's not a gerusha, she got a get, but she's not a gerusha because there's no kiddushin. No, says Ramban, midrabbonon should remain a gerusha. We're not going to change her, we can't change all that. But it's much worse than that. There are many rishonim, although not our rishonim, Rashi and Tosis, but there are rishonim mentioned in the Shita Mukabetzis, and the Ramban does mention such a shita, who says, do you know what? When Chachomim said that they removed the kiddushin, they didn't. They threatened to remove it. The threat of kiddushin being removed would mean that the man would have a whole life of sin. He'd have no legitimate children. He doesn't want that. Therefore, he says, in order to avoid that from happening, we assume that he will actually give the get without any reservations. Now, if that's the case, it means that when it says Hafkiu Kiddushin, they did not Hafkiu the Kiddushin, they threatened to do it. Since they threatened to do it, that would mean that the get would actually be Chal as a proper get, and the children would remain Mamzeri in the Diyoraisa. Now, it means that they never actually exercised the power, they just threatened to use it. According to that, that is a tremendous block to any suggestion that we should be using this method to remove it. Okay, but let's go back to Rashi and the Tosus, and after all, in matters of this sort, if the majority of Rishonim hold it was it can be done, maybe there should have been a possibility to do it. Well, the Rashbo says something very, very clear. The Rashbo is in Chuvus. I've got the reference somewhere, but I haven't got it in front of me at the moment, but it can be found. But it's clearly in the Shita Mukabetzes, and Kesubas is a long Shita Mukabetzes, bringing all the Shittas at the beginning of Kesubas. Let me read out what he says. My Shnor Mi Tova Biyom. Why is it in any way different from a person who has fallen into the water? We see in the later Prokem of Yevamos. So the woman remains in Aguna for the rest of her, who wasn't her fault. Why should Chachomim not use this principle of Hafkiu Kiddushin and she's never married? Well, this kasher, of course, will only apply to the shittas of Rashi and Tosus, where they say it was retrospectively removed. According to the other shittas, which was never respectful, this was never even a kasher. They couldn't do it, so you don't have a problem. And according to Ramban, that they would have remained midrabbonon, it's also it doesn't change the situation. But the Rashbo says, even according to the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, that the whole condition of completely bottle ab initio, why did they not remove it in this case on Bishum Agudas? We know how much Chazal wanted to do. The Ashleima, the Bechdi lo mafke lehu rabbonon lekedushin. Chachama would not do this for nothing, unless the man was holding a get. So he says, unless there is a get in our presence, Chachamim wouldn't even look at it. In the cases which I mentioned, there's Yesh Omis Begitin. The Shrivnana gave a get. What was the third case? We had the third case was the Bittel of the Shlichus. There has to be a get, otherwise Chazal were not interested. Without a get, they're not going to touch it, because the only reason they did it was to make sure that the get would be Chal. That's the Rashbo. There are modern Chuvas also, one is quoted in the Yosef Das, produced by the Rabbi Yomi, in the name of Shlomo Zalman, and it's also similar things said by Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. I think it's worth just briefly reading it out. Umuchach mizeh, de lo rotzu cha chomen beshum oifun v'inyan lasis priyulum yuchedesh lavkos kedushin le'isha mesuyemes. They would not try to help an individual person. Afilu b'mokim tzagodol. We all know it's a tremendous mitzvah to try to remove agunas. We all know how big a mitzvah it is to get agunas, and we know how far Chazal went during the war and how much they put themselves out. Musa nefesh for it. Ad miyoid lahamtzilo tzurufa detachpulo shel avkos kedushin ki chachamim beruach kodshom v'chachmos v'chachamim knew shekol tachpulo nasis v'kavona lavkos kedushin shelish mesuyim. Any stratagem to release an individual person, it destroys the institution of marriage. So what he's saying is this, that yes, there may be certain situations where it was necessary to do this in order to be mechazek the inyan, to strengthen the inyan of kiddushin and getting, that's it was necessary to avoid specific situations. But that was a general principle. It will not work for individuals. Although maybe there will be a lot of trial for this particular individual woman, nonetheless, we cannot ruin the institution of marriage because of it. It's more of the general cloud has to take precedence. Because with all their rachmonis and all that, they knew that this could be the case. Now, let me just finish off with the showing the power of Chachamim. We have a principle in the Torah that you must not turn away from what the Chachamim say, right or left. That's what the Pasuk says. Now the word left, usmo, is mentioned 14 times in Tanakh. Seven times in Chumash and seven times in Nach. And in 12 of those occasions, it has a full vav. It's mole. When something has a full vav, that means it's exact, it's full, it's the right, the full thing. When it talks about the king not turning right or left, he wasn't allowed to go in any other direction. When it talks about Klal Yisrael in the Midbar not going right or left when they were going through the foreign lands of Sichon or Edom, it says, smell with a full vav. And the Pasuk in Yeshaya in last week's Haftarah says, Yomen is small to Frotzi, you'll go right, means you'll definitely go right in there. So, but in two cases only, the Vav is omitted. And those two cases are where it's telling you to listen to Chazal, whether they tell you to go right or left. Now there's a machlokus what that left means. Whether it means, even if it is Be'emes, right, you still got to go that way, and you think it's left, you must still go that. Or what it means, probably more likely, that even if you think you're going left, and Chazal are telling you you're going right, you've got to do it, because Chazal know better than you. Now that vav is omitted because that is telling us it's not proper left. You think it's proper left, but it's not proper left. And that's why the vav is omitted. It's apparently in Kabbalah, the vav is the letter which represents truth. Every letter has a meaning. The vav is a representation of truth. And that vav is omitted from the smol because it doesn't look true to you, but Chazal knew what they were doing. It's not for us to start complaining about Chazal. Oh, they're strict old men, they don't understand the tzar of the woman. Nothing could be further from the truth. We've seen the Chazal go out of their way in order to look after people, and we have got to listen to what they say, and we shouldn't complain or object. But you've got to understand, when they say something is small, then, and that they say that, sorry, if they say the small is yamin, that's the right way to go, you have to follow it. And this is the same thing here. If Chazal have told us that we cannot make a half-course kiddushin, except in these particular cases, all these grumblings which we hear outside are of naught. All these people who are trying to, why are Chazal not trying to make the halacha work for this poor people, Chazal knew better the institute of marriage was at stake. Let me conclude to tell you a famous story of the Chasam Sofer in Tshuvas, Ebenezer Simkuf Ayin Dalet. Chasam Sofer was once had a situation where the people didn't want to listen to the Chazal, because they said that the Austrian emperor, the Kaiser, probably would object to it. He said, you should know, you do what Chazal is saying, you see, everything will become alright. Now I'll tell you a story, says, not a story, a maasa, because people think a story is just a fiction. This is an episode, a maasa, which happened. There was once upon a time, there was a woman who wanted to leave her husband, who was a kohen, and the kohen didn't object. He was a nice man, after all, he was his wife, but she wanted to go, he couldn't say no. So he let her go. The husband wasn't necessarily a kohen, the husband let her go, sorry. When she went, she was now a gerusha, and she then fell in love with a kohen, and she wanted to get married to the kohen. The chacham, of course, would not permit this. So what happened? They went to the local authorities, and the local authorities decided they were going to look into this. They were going to test whether Chazal are right or not. And they decided, they came up with the following conclusion. They said, look, we know that the reason why a woman should not then go and marry a kohen is because it's not that covered dick for the kohen, after all, that he should take somebody else's reject. Somebody throws her out and she should go to the kohen. We can't have her. Therefore, this woman wasn't thrown out. It was a free will by consent. There's no pechistas are covered for the kedusha of the kohuna at all. Therefore, as far as we're concerned, she can marry the kohen. This went up to various courts, and all the courts, not being terribly philo-Semitic, decided that this was right. Eventually, it had to have, because the Chachomim objected, they put in a mechor, they said, look, you can't do this, the rabbinic court disagreed, it had to be determined finally by the Kaiser himself. When the Kaiser heard the two sides of the argument, he heard his own, he's a fine, fair man, he wanted to follow his own jurists, but the Chachomim could see that they had a point. He said, I'll tell you what, we're going to go to a top Jewish jurist and let him determine it. Now the Jewish jurist whom he chose was not a member of Chazal, after all they're biased, they can't use them. He chose a Jewish philosopher who kept nothing. So everyone thought that was the end. What's a Jewish philosopher going to say? However, this Jewish philosopher says the Chassam Sofer about him, for this one act in his life he gets some Olam Habo, despite all his other Averas, but for this one thing, Zochu Lato, for this, what he said was as follows. He said like this, look, you want to permit this woman to marry the divorcee, this divorcee to marry the kohen. Look, the Torah prohibits it. The Torah in the Bible does not give reasons or explanations. You've implanted explanations into it, but the Bible does not permit it. On the other hand, we know that very often the rabbis are very make-up. They go out of their way to change the Torah and make it more palatable, make it more easy for people. There are many examples where the Chazal tried to reduce. We've got one in this last week said that the Torah says 40 lashes, but the Chazal reduced it to 39. Shlomo HaMelech said that the Togim Dodecho Miyoyin, the Chazal are wonderful in the way that they can reduce the punishments that people get. He said, however, in this particular case, the Chazal also refused it. So remember, if you're going from the point of view of the Torah, it forbids it. If you're going from the point of view of the Chazal, it also forbids it. So how can you possibly say, it was your own idea that this should work? The king listened to the jurist, and he accepted the opinion of the jurist, and he prohibited the marriage to occur. The Chassam Sofer says, from that Maisa you can see, do the right thing, and even the Kaiser can sometimes come on your side. But what we see from this, that this philosopher understood that the Chachamim were people who were who made things as easy as possible for Klal Yisrael. And those people who object to it shouldn't throw mud at the Chazal. This is the Torah. You're part of the club. You're part of the Torah fraternity. If you're going to accept it, then you've got to accept the Torah as it stands. And remember that Chazal are not making it harder. They're making it easier and not making things worse for you. If you don't want to accept Chazal and you don't want to accept the Torah, well, unfortunately, then you have to leave our society. Let's finish on a positive note, that we hope that from now on, that anybody who is thinking on the wrong lines should understand that the heter of Agunas is one of the most wonderful things which you can do. It's a tremendous chesed. And another important point also I want to make as a solicitor, that I find sometimes husbands and sometimes wives refusing to give gittin to their wives or their spouses because they want to take revenge, because they want to get money, because they want to improve their position, they want to negotiate. Let them know that they are transgressing a mitzvah asei d'oraisa of vahavta l'recha kamocha. They are transgressing the love d'oraisa of nishmata merdel nafsho seichel. They're causing life, they can cause death to themselves, they can cause tremendous aggravation. Don't do it. If the situation is such, then you've got to give in gracefully, and that way it'll increase the love of Israel for each other and bring forward the Geula, which is unfortunately being held back because of Sinas Chinom. And this is one of the areas where there's just too much Sinas Chinom. However much you may feel badly done to, however much you may feel that the other side is wrong, remember there is this mitzvah in the Torah to make sure that you create peace between Jewish people.